That today he is on the throne in the heavenlies, as the book of Hebrews showed us very clearly last night. And at least twice in the book of Hebrews, he said he's sitting on the throne waiting until all of his enemies will become his footstool. It's a big job. We tend to forget that today the enemy is still running around free and trying especially to destroy God's work. We are very surprised why there's so much problems in the church life and problems with our flesh, problems with our self, and problems of division, and everyone is doing his own work and with his own opinion, and you have your own views, I have my own views, and we thought it's just human problems. But actually, the whole power of darkness, the deceiver of this world, the ancient serpent, the father of lies, right? The accuser of the brethren, so many titles the Lord has given to him. and not the least, he's called the prince of this world and even the god of this world. Paul mentioned his name, the god of this world, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So you can see we have a big problem here on this earth. If we just look at a situation with our own eyes, you can just see the outward problems of man. Man's problem. But if you look beyond that, you can really see that God's enemy with all the demonic activities and the evil spirits, right? You have the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, against the evil spirits, the fallen angels, right? So we need to realize that today the Lord sitting on the throne is to really subdue all of these enemies and make them his footstool. But unfortunately, God's people didn't have this view. And if you don't have this view, no wonder we not only could not subdue God's enemies today, but we even work with him together, utilized by him to destroy God's plan and purpose. Right? So to see this matter, that today our Lord is sitting on the throne, he is the King of righteousness, and he is the King of peace. Very strange, he's the King of peace, but we have no peace on this earth. That the world didn't have any peace, I understand that. But that we, God's people among ourselves, we have no peace, that I cannot understand. Right? So may the Lord open our eyes. It's because we don't realize what the Lord is doing up there today. Right? And then we also saw last night, and it's very important for us to see, that up there, before the Father, he is our great heavenly high priest. And with a higher order than the order of Aaron, he is according to the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews told us very, very clearly in chapter 7, the meaning of the word Melchizedek is the King of righteousness. And because he's the king of Salem, Salem means peace, shalom, right? So he is also the Prince of Peace, but he is today our great heavenly high priest to help us. Help us do what? According to our human concept, oh, he's going to help us taking care of our problem. I need a job. Lord, give me a good job. Or I'm sick. Lord, heal me. Or bless our families and do this for me, do that for me. And I have some personal problems. Lord, help me. This is the realm where we are thinking about, that our great heavenly high priest will help us. No, but according to Hebrews, he says there, this great heavenly high priest is to help us in things pertaining to God. Things pertaining to God. You know, our problem is we care so much for ourselves and we don't care for the things pertaining to God. That's why you have so much problem. But if you learn to take care of the things pertaining to God, I assure you, God will take care of things pertaining to you concerning what you need. Right? No wonder the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, whatever you need, will be added to you. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't work anymore and that you can be lazy, you can, you know, just do nothing. No, that's not what the Lord means, but that whatever you need in your daily human life will be added to you. You don't have to worry about it, because the Lord will see to it that everything will be all right with you. Right? So what are the things pertaining to God? What does God want today? What is his purpose? What is his plan? Why do we need a great high priest for? In order to understand this, you need to go back to the scriptures to see why, what was actually during the age of the Old Covenant, what was actually all the work and the services of the priesthood. So if you do not understand that, then you will not understand why the Lord is our great high priest today. So this Bible is not just to talk about God in a general way, but it contains the whole plan and the whole purpose of God, and it has much to do with us. And don't think that the Old Testament scriptures has nothing to do with us. No, it has everything to do with us. Right? So the Old Testament scriptures there are just shadows of what God wants to do in reality with us in the new covenant. And the new covenant is the reality, the fulfillment of all the shadows and the types and the prophecies of the Old Testament days, the scriptures. So I really hope that we all will have this proper understanding. Don't think God has nothing to do today. Right. If we as human beings, we have so much to do, we have our work to do, we have our plan, we plan for the future, what we want to achieve, how much more God? Right? Don't you have any plan for your life? You better have some, right? And what do? Nothing? No, you work towards that goal. Don't you think God has a plan for us today? And his plan is much higher. Right? And we all know that the ultimate purpose is that God wants to bring his kingdom down to this earth. Thy kingdom come. You think it's easy? Right? Today on this earth, you can see it is ruled by the evil one. John said a whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. That evil one is very subtle. He will not rule this earth so that you will know he's ruling, okay? It seems everything is fine and okay. Who is ruling in Canada? I don't think anybody will tell me it's the evil one. I don't think you will tell me that. But only the Word of God tells you who is ruling. No wonder he's called the prince of this world, even the God of this world. And in a very subtle way, if you're not clear concerning what's going on, you will fall right into his laps. Right? And so we need to see what it's all about. And do you think the evil one is just going to let you cooperate with God to bring his kingdom down to this earth without a fight? That's why today there is a spiritual warfare going on. And at the end of this age, there is the Armageddon, the last warfare there, where Satan will gather all the armies of this world to go outside of Jerusalem. It's called the Valley of Megiddo. That's why it's called Har-Mageddon. Right? It's that war is going to happen there. There is a warfare going on, and if you don't care, then what can God do? Right? And there in Hebrews, you can really see that the Lord is the captain of our salvation. He's the captain. What is the captain for? Just to direct a choir? Is that the work of a captain? Or like a pastor to preach some kind of a message every Sunday? No. The captain needs an army. Are you in the army? We just think, oh, we are members of the body of Christ. Oh, what are the members doing? Fighting each other? No goal, just do a few services, is that all? Once a week. If you're in a warfare, Satan is not going to say, okay, let's make a treaty just once a week, okay, 2 hours. Let's fight that battle 2 hours once a week. How about that, Jake? It's 24/7. Not just 11, not 7-11. It's 24/7. He never sleeps. Is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, Peter said. So, right. So we have a captain. And these are all written very, very clearly in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is one of the hardest books to really grasp and understand. Because it is talking about what the Lord is doing today in the heavenlies. Right. So you have to realize, since our Lord today is sitting on the throne as a priestly king or a kingly priest, because this too, the kingship and the priesthood today, is joined together in Christ. Right. on the throne today in the heavenlies. No wonder today the royal priesthood is so important for us in the church life. This is what God is doing today with us in the church. He is that kind of a person today in the heavenlies. And what he is doing with us today is exactly that in order to bring us to where he is. And, we talk about the church, the church, the church, the church. At the end, what is it? Nobody knows. You only know about one city, one church, one city, one church. What are we doing here? Right. What is our goal? What do we want to attain? Right. Paul says he pressed toward the mark, toward the goal, right? So today we need to really see this. If we don't see this, I'm afraid we're going to miss the goal. Now, let's come to the outline very quickly, right? Yeah, sorry. Anyone has the... Do you need the outline there? Okay. Anybody has... Right. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, hi, Betsy. It's good to see you. Anybody else? No? Richard, you have one? Okay, got it, right? Okay. Sister Uga, yeah? Over there, please, in the back for Sister Uga, yeah? All right. Good, yeah. She got it, yeah? Everybody has it. I think in order to go on quickly, let's just go to the outline and you can read the verses yourselves, right? Last night we didn't get into Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. But it is written here mostly, right? First of all, we are chosen to be his special treasure, his inheritance. We are God's special treasure. That means very precious. Among all the people on this earth, among so many nations, tribes, tongues, and languages, and right, God has chosen us to be his special treasure. You have to appreciate this. Don't just think, okay, I'm saved. It's not just being saved. No, it is a very special treasure for God to accomplish his eternal plan in this universe. We are his inheritance. All these verses there tells us that God's people is his special inheritance. Among the whole creation of God, look how great and how big is God's creation. We, of all of God's creation, we are chosen to be his special treasure. I think it's beyond our comprehension. Really beyond our comprehension. Because it is just too great. Just too wonderful and too great. Now, to be his special treasure, that is for himself, right? And the second point now is where we are coming to this burden of the conference, to be a kingdom. To be a kingdom. We are his kingdom. Now that is something else. I don't think a lot of Christians today realize that we as God's people, we just talk about we are his people. But God wants to have a nation, a kingdom, where he can rule. The Lord today is the king, right? Sitting on the throne, right? Can you imagine a king without a kingdom? If you are the boss, you're the boss, right? If you, let's say you were the boss, the CEO. Okay, then I'll ask the CEO of which company? Well, I have no company. Well, how can you be a CEO of what? You better be a CEO of a company, right? If you tell me you're a CEO, but you cannot tell me which company you're working for as a CEO. What are you a CEO for? Right? If somebody tells you he's the king, then the king of which kingdom? Where is your kingdom? Now you tell me, where is his kingdom? Who are his people and where is his nation? The king of which nation? You better know. Today we, as God's people on this earth, we are his kingdom. But for some strange reason, nobody thought about that. That's why nobody cares. And the Lord did say that a kingdom divided in itself cannot stand. Look at the whole Christianity today, so divided, right? Even fighting against each other, even competing with one another. And everybody has their own goal, etc. How can such a kingdom stand? And is the Lord really the ruler? Now, if Christ indeed is a king among his people, how can his people be like that? Even in Canada, you cannot do anything you like, right? Can you? Tomorrow, a few people decided that we're going to create another nation in Toronto. We're going to call it New Canada. Whatever you call it. You think it's acceptable? People will think you are cuckoo. But if I don't like you, tomorrow I'll form another church. Hey, Peter, we're good friends. Let's start another church tomorrow. We call it Peter's Church. Even St. Peter's Church, okay. Wow, it's even better. And St. John. We'll call it the Church of St. Peter and St. John. How about that? What would you think? Won't you think that I'm crazy? No, you won't. Because it became normal. This crazy thing becomes a normal phenomenon among the believers. Just over a little thing we fight. You think the Lord is the king? Will the king allow that? Why don't you ask him who is the king? Nobody asks him, and even if he tells you not to do it, you are going to do it anyway. Right. Now, when God's people came out of Egypt, right after they came out of Egypt, he told them, if you will keep my commandments, hear my words and keep my commandments, you shall be to me a special treasure and a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. How about that? A holy nation. Are we that holy nation? and it's a kingdom of priests. That means the whole nation of Israel, every tribe, the 12 tribes should all be the priests. It's a kingdom of priests. You know, according to the Bible, the priesthood is a privilege. We think of it as a service, serving as servants. But the scripture says it is a privilege, it's a gift, it's a special privilege given by God to his people, because only these priests can really approach him and come to him and be in his presence. You think you can see the president of Canada every day? Huh? A prime minister, I'm sorry. Can you see him? Why not? Sorry. You're not a special treasure. You are not his counselor. You cannot come to him any time and call him a straight line to him and says, Prime Minister, I need to talk to you. He will say, who are you? Oh, I'm David Teo. I don't know a David Teo. You will never, you don't have that privilege. No. Can you see Obama anytime? Call Obama in New York. I'm going to visit you tomorrow, okay? Let's have coffee together. You don't have that privilege. But as priests, in the book of Ezekiel, it tells us only Zadok and his descendants, the descendants of Zadok, they can come near to me. The rest of the Levites who were not faithful at a time when the people of God went to worship idols, they were unfaithful. These Levites went with them and helped them to worship the idols. Only Zadok at that time and his sons were faithful. So in the book of Ezekiel, God says only the descendants of Zadok can come near to me and bring me my food. So don't think to be a priest is okay. I don't know how people think about the priest today, the priesthood. No, it's a privilege bestowed by God to all of us. And only they, the priests, can really serve within the sanctuary, the holy place and the holy of holies. And only they can really deal with the offerings in the burnt offering altar. It is a privilege. We don't think of this as something that is an honor given to God, by God to us. No wonder the book of Hebrews says, no one takes this honor upon themselves, except it was given by God to him. It's not just, I volunteer, okay? You want to volunteer? God says, even if you want to volunteer, no one can take this honor to himself, but it is an honor bestowed by God to us. We need to change our concept. Right? So we have here, it is an honor bestowed by God, a gift of service in Numbers chapter 18, verse 7. God gave this as a gift. You think God is just going to give you some kind of a guitar as a gift to you? What is a guitar? This is made of wood and a few strings and a hole right there and make some sounds. a gift given by God, the priesthood, for the service. God will not give you just an ordinary gift. No. Remember what the Lord says, the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Something so super, super divinely precious. If you know who you're talking to, the Lord said to the Samaritans, right, you would have asked of him and he would have given you the living water. Something so precious that will become a well of water, a spring of water within you to spring up unto eternal life. And this wonderful gift here, the priesthood, is a special gift. And people don't want it, and even want to criticize it and oppose it. And oh my goodness, I said, what is it? What happened to us? Right. So, and then point number three here is to be a holy nation. Praise the Lord. A nation. You think it's easy to be a nation? Even a family life is not easy, right? Is it easy to have a family? No. Just a family is already not easy, right? So complicated. How many children now do you have?
Two.
Two. Easy?
No.
No. Easy to manage?
No.
No. Not easy to manage. I tell you, even to manage a family, it is not easy. You are going to manage a nation? Sharon, is it easy to manage your family? Especially two very strange daughters. Of course, they are lovely daughters. They happen to be my grandchildren. It's not easy. The church is a nation. And not only that, God wants a holy nation. You cannot just do anything you like. Even in Canada, you cannot, right? Can you drive your car in any way you like? Go 200 km an hour right through the city? You cannot do that. You cannot do that. You cannot even park wherever you like. You get a ticket. You say, but I'm a free man here in Canada. We have freedom. Freedom? No. God wants a holy nation. No wonder Peter said and quoted the scriptures, be holy because I am holy, God said. Right. So to be a holy nation, you think it is easy? It is definitely not easy. And today we are so unholy. Can do anything you like. You can think anything you like. You can say anything you like. And you can do anything you like. Not very holy, is it? But God desires to have a holy nation. But unfortunately, you can take a look at the history of the nation of Israel. At the end, they lost the nation. That is a real warning to us. They lost the nation. Can you imagine God lost the entire nation? He has to give it up. Is it easy to give up a nation? You tell me. No, it is not. But God has to give up a nation. And let's not talk about the past and the history. But when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He came as their king, right? He came as their king. But what happened? Did they accept the king? Jake, you think they accepted the king? Did they? Now, will you accept the king today? Do whatever he says? Are you going to say, crucify him, forget about him? Too much of a hassle. Keep telling me what I shouldn't do and what I should do. Forget it. I don't want that king. How about that? Sarah, let's get rid of him. Too troublesome to have such a king, so holy and righteous and glorious, to rule within your heart. You like it? Wow, my goodness, she is really strange. She likes it. Huh? Praise the Lord. Whether you like it or not, that's not a question. You need it. Me too. You may not like it. Do you like it in California to be limited? You cannot do this. You're not allowed to do that. You really like it? Or do you want to have absolute freedom to do anything you like? It'll be chaotic, right? Don't think we are better than the nation of Israel at that time. No. You may say you like it, you may say you need it, but when he tells you what to do, you will say no. You'll say no. Sorry, Lord, at least not today. Maybe tomorrow. And you know, if it's tomorrow, it will never come. Because every day will be a tomorrow. So if anybody says tomorrow, or later. Later is always later. Right. So to be a holy nation is not simple. And then the church today, according to Hebrews chapter 12, is Zion. We have come to Mount Zion. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 says, verse 22, right? We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. What is Mount Zion in the Bible? It's the city of the great king. We say we are the church, but what is the church? Now, if you say you're the body of Christ, what is the most important part? If I cut off your head, you will have no body. You will become a nobody. Really. A headless body is a nobody. Right? Unless you're kind of a strange monster or something. What do you call that guy without a head running around, dry riding on a horse? Yeah, but there's a name. I forgot what it is. Headless horseman. This is what a lot of Christian groups are today, headless body. Or body replaced by another head. Right. So we all need to realize that no, in Zion, we have a king. If you talk about Zion, it is the city of the great king. Otherwise, you're not Zion. Right? Zion is the city of the great king, Psalm 48, right? And you can really see that the Lord has chosen Zion. And of course, Zechariah and Ezekiel, right? The Lord says, my throne is here. His throne is here, right? And B, God himself is their king. This is what the Lord wants to do with us today. And this is what a priesthood is all about. Because the priesthood and the kingship, these two things are related to each other. You have to really see this. And now, in the age of the new covenant, now let's go to Peter. Let's just jump to Peter, right? Let's just go to Peter quickly, and then we'll have our pause, right? We have a pause here, right? What do you call that?
Break.
A break. We'll have a break. First Peter chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you can read up to verse 9, I'll be right back, please. Go ahead and read it. Marvelous light. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. Peter, in this portion of the scripture, is definitely a quotation of Exodus chapter 19. That means that in the New Testament, God's plan has never changed. What he has planned for the nation of Israel is exactly what we should be enjoying and experiencing today, except we have the reality. Now it is a heavenly kingdom. In the Old Testament age, it is an earthly kingdom. But now, when the New Testament age arrives, the Lord's preaching the gospel is repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. That means now, in the new covenant age, it is spiritual. It is heavenly in nature. We are not building an earthly kingdom here, but we are building a heavenly kingdom. Actually, the whole nation of Israel should have gone through the transition to become the heavenly kingdom, but they refused it. They rejected the king. They refused to accept the gospel of the new covenant, which is now the heavenly kingdom. So what we are doing today is to build with this heavenly king his kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. So in this verse, it tells us here, now we are the living stone to build up a spiritual house. Now, this spiritual house is the heavenly Zion. Because it's no longer a house made of stones. But now we are dealing with the living stones. And the Lord himself is the cornerstone to really hold us together. Right, the corner is to join the two sides together. So what is holding us together as a living stone is not you and I trying to be one, but it is by this cornerstone, Christ being the foundation stone and the cornerstone to hold us together. Even the Lord himself is the corner, the chief cornerstone. So it says here, the living stones being built up a spiritual house, comma, a holy priesthood. Now, that means the whole church should be a holy priesthood. Don't say the church is one thing, the priesthood is another thing. This is a human concept. Or here is the church, the church becomes just a dead building, and you are just a commoner, you're the laity, and there are some, George going through a theological seminary. I always mixed up seminary and cemetery, I don't know. He went through a seminary training, now he's a priest. We are all just laity here. There's no such thing. The whole church, the spiritual house, is a holy priesthood. Right? And that is why we need to know what is this priesthood and what is the function of this priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Now, don't think God is going to accept everything or anything. Sorry. Otherwise, Peter will not use the word acceptable to God. That means there are certain things God does not accept. The first two persons who offer up sacrifices is Abel and Cain. And that should already tell us right from the very start of the Bible, God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering. So don't think that God will accept anything. People who asked me and told me, why are you so narrow? Why is it that we have to bring to God the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the wave offering, the heave offering, and at the end you have the drink offering? Why do we have to be so specific? Well, because God said he wants this. You are not God. Are you? No. So you better do what God says, not what you say. Now, what you think is right. Sorry. You will say, well, I can just bring anything, Christ, to God. And I can offer any time, anywhere. Even if I'm taking a shower, I can offer up, I don't know what, to the Father. Anytime, anywhere, is it what the Word of God says? So who should I listen to? I'm going to listen to what God says. Right. So, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the reality of all of these wonderful offerings. You bring anything else to God, it's not acceptable. For example, you can bring an offering to God, and the smallest offering is a bird, and not just any kind of bird. It has to be a dove or a turtle dove. Don't bring a sparrow or a crow. Oh my God, is not going to take that. No, only a dove or a turtle dove is acceptable. Sorry, you cannot say, I'm going to bring a hummingbird. I like it. Well, you may like a hummingbird, okay? Keep it as a pet in your house, but don't offer it to God. Sorry that I can use some very simple example to make it clear to you. It has to be what is acceptable to the Father. And now, it says, therefore, it is contained in the scriptures, meaning to say, now this spiritual house, this holy priesthood, is connected to Zion. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, of course, if you're disobedient, that stone is not precious. For us, all these wonderful offerings, are they precious to you, John? John Yao? Why are they so precious? Because you believe and you experience the reality. But for some, this is nonsense. Right? Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Will you reject the offerings? I should hope not. But then what happened? It becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Listen. Today, after we talk about the offerings, a lot of people got stumbled and offended because they don't believe. You don't believe the Word of God? What are you going to believe? You think it is my teaching? No. I'm just reading what the Bible says. They stumble, being disobedient to the Word. So you better learn. Whatever God says in His Word, mingled with faith, just like Hebrews chapter 4 says. But you, praise the Lord, to those who believe, you are a chosen generation. Wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. I like the word royal now. Right? In verse 5, you're a holy priesthood. Now a royal priesthood. Wonderful. Royal. Amen. We're all of the royal blood. Amen. And a holy nation. Wonderful. His own special people. Praise God. And Peter was just quoting and repeating what the Lord said to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 19, and in other different verses as well. Right. That you may proclaim the praises of Him, the virtues of Him, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now we, the Gentiles, were the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right. May the Lord open our eyes to see that today we are this wonderful priesthood. If you want to do it. God will never force anyone to do it, okay? Our God will never force anyone. He didn't force Adam and Eve and force the fruit of the tree of life into their throat. No, we would like to do that, right? To avoid any problem. Adam and Eve, come over here, and pick the fruit. One for Adam and one for Eve. Open your mouth and you just and he just shove it into their mouth and into their throat, and that would solve all the problem. You think God would do that? God will never do that. He gave man a free will and he respected your free will. You love him, you take it. No wonder the Bible says, the Lord said in John chapter 17, oh, I'm sorry, chapter 14, if anyone loves me, he will, what? take my word. He will do my word. He will keep my words. This is the reality of love. I cannot say, Lord, I love you, but I go ahead and do whatever I want and forget about his word. No such thing. You can fool me, you can fool many people here, but you cannot fool the Lord. You love him. The proof is you keep his word. You rejected his word and tell me you love him, I will put a big question mark. Actually, I don't even have to put a question mark. I know you don't love him. Why? Because the Lord said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father and I will love him and will make our abode in him. So we say we love him, but we do whatever we like. I don't think it is good. Oh, how come I have two here? Yeah, a double portion. Praise the Lord. Let's have a break. Huh?